The following program is sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries.
Together, we're inspiring people to live for Jesus. If you're looking for more in life, to live with purpose and peace, to make a difference for your family and those in need around the world, Jesus is the answer. And our mission is to simply point you to Him. You're watching Kingdom Connection with Jensen Franklin.
In 2 Corinthians 12 and verse 15, the Bible says, I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. This is the Apostle Paul who said this. I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I thought about that verse strongly when I thought about what happened to Charlie Kirk. He was willing to spend and be spent because and be despised for what he believed and what he said, the freedom of speech that you have the right to believe and say what you want to say and do it in a civil way, not in a violent or threatening or dominating way that overwhelms and says silence every other voice. Acts 13 and verse 36 said, and David served his generation. I love that. He served his generation by the will of God and then fell asleep. And that is a description of this Christian leader, Charlie Kirk. He served his generation in the will of God, and instantly he died. It is appointed unto man once to die, and after death then comes the judgment. He fell asleep. It was instant. Do you know that I believe this with all of my heart? There is appointed unto man once to die, which means when it's your time to die, you're going to die. It could have been cancer. It could have been a car wreck. It could have been a lot of things. But this was his time to die. We serve a God who is sovereign over all, even the doings of evil people. And so do everything that you can do, but you have to have God sovereignty over your life. And he served his generation in the will of God. Do you know that every one of you and every one of us is supposed to serve our own generation? We're called to serve our generation. God has great things ahead of this generation of young people. I believe that every one of you, 31 and under, and 31 and over, because that is a generation. We're all a part of this generation, and we need to be serving God, and we need to be doing God's will. I heard a story that I want to give you, and I'm going to move quick, and then I'm going to end with something that's a little different, but I believe it's exactly what your ears are supposed to hear today. And I'll do this all in 20 minutes. But there was an old farmer who would have his grandson in all summer long, and he would work on the farm. And he lived a meager life, and he just had an old farmhouse and some animals and farmed the land and had one field that was full of rocks. And the son said, all I ever did the whole summer was take a flatbed trailer and an old mule and throw rocks that had washed down by the rain out of that field. He said all of his childhood, he would go stay at granddad's, and most of the day would be spent moving rocks in and throwing them out of that field. They never could get a harvest from that one field. There's a harvest everywhere else, but not in that one field. And finally, the old grandpa died, and this is a true story. The man said that he buried his grandfather on the other side of the road of that field in the old home place in a little plot, family plot that they had for years and generations. And about 20 years later, this man happened to go back home to a family reunion with the rest of the family that was still alive. And he said they all, after eating and having a good time, said, let's go over to the old home place. They had sold it all, sold the farm, everything. And the new owner had it, and when they got there, they were astonished. The old farm place and old home place was gone, and a beautiful, beautiful home with landscaped and gorgeous home, and the old outhouse was gone, and the old smokehouse was gone, and everything, the old barn was gone, and a brand new, beautiful barn had been built, and fences and everything just perfect. And he said the thing that astonished him the most was this one field that all of his childhood he had picked rocks up with his granddaddy and thrown them in the back of that old wagon. He said it was full of corn, and it had corn stalks that were 7 feet tall. And he said, I didn't ask for permission, but he said something came over me, and he thought, I have to show this to Grandpa. And he tore down one of those corn stalks, and he took a cob of that corn and some of it and walked across the street and laid it on his granddad's gravesite. And he said, Granddad, I just wanted you to know that your generation picked up rocks so that this generation could eat corn. And we never got to eat it. You never got to eat it. You never saw it. There are things that one generation picks up rocks for so that the next generation could eat corn. And it ought to make you thankful for somebody that's come into your mind that has picked up rocks so you don't have to do that kind of stuff. And with bloody hands and with war and with fighting and with calloused hands, the rocky fields have been cleared so that you can eat the corn. And you don't need to squander. The same is true for this nation. There are those who picked up the rocks so that we could eat the corn. In Matthew 13 and verse 38, Jesus said, the world is the field in the parable that he taught. And God uses people to go into these worthless fields that are nothing but filled with rocks. And he says, pick them up and make them into something fruitful and powerful. God lets one generation eat corn if another generation will pick up rocks. You and I are picking up rocks even here this morning so that the next generation can eat corn. Now, I want you to lean in because this is important. Haggai 2 said, God said, the silver and the gold are mine. The problem is when Jesus showed up in the flesh, he never had any money, even though he said the silver and the gold, all of it is mine. You'd think if you owned all of it that when Jesus showed up, you'd take a few bars and put it in your backpack of gold or silver. You'd take some diamonds and rubies and put them in your pocket since you own it all. And there's nothing that you don't own. He never had money. He's like some of your friends. He just never had money. When it's time to pay the bill, he never had money because he didn't carry money in his pockets. He carried people. The Apostle Paul said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. He carried people. And it's so important that you understand that who you are, this new generation, that I believe what has happened this week is even prophetic in that it is going to have a triggering effect on a new generation to stand up and to do what is right and to take back this nation and love God and believe that we can see a worldwide revival for Jesus Christ of souls like we have never seen. Do you know that when Jesus wanted to feed the 5,000, he didn't have any money, but he had a person who had 3 loaves and some fish. And when it was time to pay his taxes, not his Herod's tax, this was the temple tax. And the temple tax is said in the book of Leviticus was a half a shekel if you were 20 years of age or over. 20 years of age or over. If you weren't there, you didn't have to, just like you don't have to pay your taxes to you to a certain point. You you did not have to pay the temple tax. The temple had a tax of half a shekel for each person. And Jesus told him, he said, Lord, what are we going to do? We don't have any resources to pay our taxes. And there was only two that he was talking about, Jesus, and that was Simon Peter. Simon Peter was the next to the oldest. Jesus was 30 years old, between 30 and 33 when this miracle happened. So he was 30, in his 30s. And Simon Peter would have been the next oldest, and he was the only disciple that we know was married. This is just a historical fact. He was married. We know he was married because when his mother had a fever, Jesus healed her in the city of Capernaum. The rest of them were single. Unless we can find no examples of the other disciples being married. As a matter of fact, think with me, Jesus said to Simon Peter, you go down and you take a hook and put it in the water, you'll catch a fish, open his mouth, and there'll be one shekel. Pay a half a shekel for me and pay a half a shekel for you because you're over 20 and I'm over 20. But what about the other 11 disciples? I'm telling you that in spite of what the old pictures looked like, a bunch of old guys with gray beards and stuff, they were teenagers. They were probably 18, 19, 17. They were teenagers. Jesus said, I'm going to change the world with a new generation. And I'm a 30-year-old leader, and I've got Simon Peter, the rock that I'm going to use, and I'm going to use a bunch of teenagers, a bunch of young people. And that's why 2 Timothy said, chapter 4 said, let no man despise your youth. Don't let anybody tell you you're too young to make a difference. Don't let anybody tell you in your youth that you can't dream. And Charlie Kirk has the attention of the nation and the world, and he was 31 years old. He started building Turning Point USA when he was 18. He did not have a college education. He did not have everything going for him that other people had. He had a brilliant mind. He had a great gift in communication. And he took what he had and he turned it into something that would touch the entire world in 31 years. 31 years. Just like Martin Luther King, just like JFK, God is spending people. When God spends someone like Martin Luther King, like Charlie Kirk, totally maybe different messages and purposes, but God let them be spent. Anytime God spends someone, it's because he's buying someone. And I believe he let Charlie Kirk be spent because he was buying a generation. A generation that would be strong and courageous, that would not waver anymore and still kind of want to be just like the world and have the morals of the world and the same spirit of the world. We need to be like Jesus. I'm almost where I want to be. But maybe this is the most important thing that I need to say to you. In the book of Acts, we're given a story of if God's going to save or buy someone, he will spend someone. Stephen was the first martyr of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the first one to be slaughtered, assassinated, and killed. The story is in Acts chapter 6 and Acts chapter 7. And it says of Stephen, and my dear friend Perry Stone has an amazing video that he has put up, and I've talked with him by text back and forth. You should go on there and you should listen. You know he had amazing revival here, and we need to get him back sometime. But listen to me, he always sees things in parallels. Perry has that gift. And he points out some things quickly that I'm going to hit, and then I'm going to throw my two cents in it. But Perry points out, number one, that Stephen, the first martyr of the gospel of Jesus Christ, was not a preacher. He was not a prophet. He was not an apostle. He was a Christian leader. As a matter of fact, if you read Acts chapter 6, it said the apostles appointed 7 men full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit because they wanted them to do the administration and be secular while they could give themselves to the word and fast and pray. So the first martyr of the gospel was not a preacher or a prophet or a pastor or some spiritual head of the church. He was a Christian leader. Secondly, I want you to understand that this man named Stephen was assassinated in a public gathering outside. And the Bible said in Acts 6, they began to dispute. Another word for dispute is debate or argue with him. In Acts 6 and 8, it says another thing. This is exactly what Charlie would do, but it wasn't like it was a civil conversation. It was a back and forth. I hear you, tell me your point, I'll tell you, prove me wrong. And that's what our nation needs. And if we can't agree, I still care about you. You're still a human being. I love you. I'm praying for you. People who can get online and celebrate and say insane things in moments like these are evil. They're full of the enemy of their soul, and they need to be saved. I'm not mad at them. They need life. The Bible said that they began to dispute or debate back and forth, and they became angry. Now watch this. And the scripture said that, but they could not, this is an amazing verse, they were not able to resist the wisdom by which he spoke. And that was why the enemy targeted this man. It's when he spoke, he had, whether you agree with him or not, if you'll listen to him, you will discover he knows the Lord, number one, and he gladly proclaims Jesus Christ, but he also is extremely intelligent and studied on every issue, and he loved the back and forth. And they could not resist. You know why? Because it was godly wisdom. They could not resist the spirit by which he spoke. I think that happens to me. I'm just the old country bumpkin that don't deserve to be up here. But sometimes you can't resist the spirit by which I speak. He uses nobodies. They plotted his death. As he began to expose their lies and he spoke, his last message was about Christ. Stephen, the first martyr, was about Christ. And then they took him out in a public area, an uncovered area, and they stoned him to death. But here's the verse that I want you to see. While Stephen is being spent, they didn't know that God was buying somebody with Stephen's life. The scripture said while they were stoning him, before that, they laid their coats down at the feet of a man by the name of Saul. Guess who Saul was? Saul of Tarsus. Whose name he would encounter Jesus on the road to Damascus, and he would become the Apostle Paul. Now, I want you to get this. Stephen is being assassinated, and instead of cursing the people, he says, don't lay this to the... Boom, there comes a rock. There comes another one. Don't lay this to their charge, Lord. Don't... Knowing that a Savior had hung on the cross and said, Father, forgive them. And as they're stoning him to death, sitting on the outskirts of that stoning is a man named Saul of Tarsus that would become Paul the Apostle when God changed his name. Inside of him was 14 books of the New Testament. God was spending a bad man, or a good man, I should say. God was spending a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit. God was spending a good man so that he could buy a bad man who wasted the church, who persecuted the church, made fun of them and mocked them. What we don't understand is if God is spending a Christian leader in our time and he is a Christian martyr, it's only because he's buying a new generation. That Joel chapter 2 prophesies, in the last days, saith God, I'll pour out my spirit on your sons and your daughters. Did you know blood has a voice? Did you know the first murder was Cain murdering his brother Abel? And the Bible, God said, where's your brother at, Cain? His blood is crying out from the ground. You know, that's why Pilate said, I need to wash my hands. And the people started saying, let his blood, the voice of his blood, let it be on us and on our children. Blood has a voice. Even Hebrews 12 said, the blood of Jesus Christ speaks better things than the blood of Abel. And guess what Abel's blood said? Vengeance, vengeance. I want to tell you what I think is the truth. I believe that when Charlie Kirk died on that college campus and his blood was shed, it started crying out, not for revenge, not for hatred, not for riots, not for anger. I believe it started crying out, God, on every campus in this nation, give us a revival. Give us a move of God. Give us souls by the millions. Give me an army of young people who will march with the love of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's my sermon. That's what I came to preach. That's what needs to be heard. And listen to me. Now look at me. One of our singers texts me, and she and her husband are on a little feed with me, and they said, we were up to 3 a.m. with our sons. They are so stirred. They're so moved. My daughter went into a place to get her hair done, Courtney, and she came, and the girl that was doing the hair, they started talking about all that was going on in this nation. Young, beautiful girl. And she starts crying and she goes back into a back room. And then the woman that was cutting my daughter's hair said, can you come back here? And she goes back in a back room. And the girl's down on her knees ready to give her heart to Jesus. Don't you sense something is different this time? Don't you sense that if he spent one, he's buying others. For God so loved the world that he spent his only begotten son, publicly executed in an open space, that whosoever he would buy, whosoever, I don't care who you are. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what your background. Nobody cares what your nationality. Nobody cares if you're rich or poor. Nobody cares if you're gay or straight. I want you to know what I'm preaching is salvation. Let Jesus change your heart. Let Jesus in your life. Let him take control. Let him have that addiction. Let him have that lifestyle that's destroying you and leaving you empty. Let Jesus have his way in your life. and his son was spent so he could buy you and you and you and you. And so, with every head up and every eye open, I want every person in this room. Charlie was 31 years old, and in honor of him, I'm going to give this altar call. I want every person in this room and overflowing at all of our campuses, wherever you are watching this. If you're 31 years of age and under, and you want to say, I will follow you, Lord Jesus. And if you spent him for my generation to pick up the cross and carry it, I pledge myself, my talents, my time, my life. Jesus will be Lord of my life. I want to live for something that matters. Listen, I said this the other day when they asked me to speak. Your life is not measured by duration. It's by donation. What kind of difference are you making? Whose life are you changing? Who are you influencing for Jesus Christ? And if you walk down that aisle, you're saying, I want to be a witness for you. The Bible said they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, the word of their testimony. Their testimony is how we overcome. When you get so saved that you can't keep it to yourself and you start testifying, and then it says this last part that nobody ever quotes, and they love not their lives unto the end. I tell you, Charlie Kirk is an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb, the word of his testimony, and he loved, he said, if this is God's will, if I have to die for this cause, I'll die for this cause that I might help reach a lost generation. These are not normal times, and they call for unusual devotion and dedication. And I believe this is one of those services where God will mark you if you respond. God's Spirit will mark you. There are moments that mark us, and God will mark you for His plan and His purpose and His call. You don't have to be a preacher to do it, but you will be a Christian leader in whatever field God has called you to or placed you in. If you're 31 years of age, or under, get up out of your seat if you'll pledge your life to say, he has been spent. And I love what Paul said. He said, I'm willing to spend and be spent. Now it's my turn. That's what you're saying. This is the turning point. This is a turning point in my life. I'm done with it. I'm done with the lies of the devil. I'm done with the deception. I'm done with the things that they said would make me so satisfied. I'm done with it. I'm empty. It's left me empty. This is my turning point. This is my turning point. It's a call to a whole new generation. My God, church, I want you to get up on your feet and clap. Clap, clap, clap. Look at this. This is amazing. This is amazing. This is amazing. You know, Erica had no idea that this weekend would come, and storybook bride and groom, and what a life. But these things come in life to everybody. And in those moments, what you do is not get bitter against God. You don't get angry against people. You turn it in to a submitted, broken spirit that says, here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, let's change it just a little, spend me. I'm willing to spend and be spent for the name of Jesus Christ. Lift your hands and just say, Jesus, I give you complete control of my life, my choices, my decisions will go through the filter of your will. Guide me, lead me, spin me, and send me wherever you want me to go. Woo! I am yours. I know this is where peace is. This is where purpose is, in your will. And I receive it right here, this Sunday morning. I will never forget this martyr. He was spent so that I could be saved from a life without purpose. I will serve my Savior and Lord, Jesus Christ.
This program has been sponsored in part by friends and partners of Jensen Franklin Media Ministries. We hope you've enjoyed this teaching by Jensen Franklin, and thank you for your continued support of this ministry. Your prayers and financial support make these programs possible. For more information about this message and other ministry resources, visit us online at jensenfranklin.tv.